Philip has just lost the respect of the youth league football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
McDermott clapping on the sidelines, yes. And the crowd going crazy. Mafia, it's our time.
Ladies and gentlemen, it is your boy back at it again. Welcome to another edition of the Recall Report, brought to you by the Buffalo Fanatics. Folks, the Mafia was in full effect today. 35,000 people showing up once again for a preseason game. Folks, if you guys are joining for the first time, you guys are unfamiliar with this brand, you're unfamiliar with this face, you're unfamiliar with this show, this is the Rico Report. My name is Rico, and this is the Buffalo Fanatics. Smash that like as you guys enter the room. If you have not subscribed, do me a favor, subscribe. If you're wanting to catch the show more often, part of the notification game, hit that mother effing bell to let you guys know when we are going live. Listen, supportbf.com is that simple. Or, you know what, better yet, just download the app. BF Network. It's free. It's not going to cost you a damn thing. And you get state-of-the-art everything. I might be gassing right now, but you guys already catch what I'm saying. So welcome to another edition, man. The Broncos came to Buffalo, and I don't know what was going on with the Broncos today. They just were not prepared for the Bills. They weren't prepared to pay the Bills. You know what I'm saying? The Bills collectors came through and said, yo, man, it's time to pay up. And they weren't ready. I need more time. Well, you know, bill collectors don't really give you time. They say, hey, I gotta leave with something. And you know what? They left with the Broncos' dignity, I guess. I don't know, because the Broncos didn't show up. I know it's preseason. And I can't decipher what it is. Was the Broncos' defense and depth just not good enough? Or are these new signs? Is this a sign of like, yo, this team is stacked? And I'm talking about the Bills. This Bills team is stacked from top to bottom. I'm telling you right now, man, there are going to be some players on this team that we are reluctantly going to let go. And they are going to shine elsewhere. I'm not saying they're going to be stars next year, but they're going to shine elsewhere. You're going to hear their name somewhere else. And it's a shame. But it's also a good problem to have. It's a very good problem to have. So, folks, welcome. The Buffalo Bills trounce. They just absolutely dominate the Denver Broncos with a score of 42-15. I mean, the Broncos didn't make it. They didn't make it fun, man. Like 3 points in the first quarter, 3 points in the second, three. I mean, listen. It wasn't a good day for Broncos, man. And obviously they didn't have their starters play, so that obviously is a big difference. That's a huge difference. But golly, folks, you have to wonder about those very things. You gotta wonder, were we that good? Well, let's get into it, man. Josh Allen started the game. Everybody was all right. Josh Allen's in the game, baby, let's go. What does he do? I don't know. He just goes 3 for 3, 45 yards, average of 15 yards a throw, and caps off with a 28-yard TD strike to none other than the guy that we've been talking about that's going to light it up this year, Gabe Davis. Now, I saw this online, and I thought that was apropos, because that's probably how we feel about Josh Allen sometimes. When Josh Allen will do these things, I go, yes. That was Josh Allen on that 28-yard TD. It looked like he didn't like what he saw. He was about to take off. Then he's like, nah, I'm not ready to take off yet. Let me back up a little bit. Let me turn this way. Whoa, I don't like this alignment there. There's a lot. Hold on. strike. That's what it felt like. Run forward? No, I don't like that. Let me turn. Oh, nope. Somebody's there. Back door's closed. Guess what? I'm going to just airstrike 28 yards to Gabe Davis. Done. Dude, if this is an indication as to what this season's going to be like, yo, I might have to change my mind. On the over-under of how many yards he's going to throw for. I don't know, man. I don't know. I think I might keep. I might change my mind. I feel like he's going to throw for less than 4,300 yards, but golly, when he does things like this on the first drive, throws for what, 45 yards? What did he throw for? 45 yards? My goodness. That was on the first series. 70 yards, easy. Done. Matt Barkley, 7-for-8, 65 yards. No tutties. We're just fine. Case Keenum, a much better showing from Case Keenum. For those that were, you should put Case Keenum out and back and shoot his ass and get him out of here. Nah, man, y'all need to chill. Y'all need to chill with that chatter. Dude is in a new offense. Matt Barkley is in an offense he's very familiar with. Although it's a different coach, same verbiage, same type of everything. So you can't hate on Case Keenum. And Case Keenum showed why we paid him, what, three mil? 3.5 mil? There's a reason we paid him 3.5 mil. He went 16 for 18, 192 yards and a tutty. A 129 rating. I'll take that. That's what you want from your backup. That's what you want your backup to be able to do. God forbid Josh goes down. You got it. And he looked good. He was definitely shaky the first week, but he definitely looked good today. Matt Barkley was Matt Barkley. He didn't have to, you know me, do the heroics and bring us back because there was no need. Because defense was lighting it up. The run game was lighting it up. My goodness. Last night's show, I said I wanted to see three things. Three things I wanted to see. I wanted to see how our O-line was going to gel. I think they gelled quite well. I don't even think we allowed a sack today. I'm going to see if I can confirm that. We did not allow a sack today. So that tells me the O-line did extremely well. Not only did the O-line do well, we allowed our run game to run for 208 yards. I know it's preseason. Believe me, I know. But it's also preseason. And you know how that goes. You're not really going to be able to do much in preseason. And we were able to do a lot of much. I know that doesn't make any sense what I'm saying, but you catch what I'm trying to say. That was huge. And by the way, shout out to each and every one of you guys tuned in right now. There's about 258 people watching from YouTube, watching from Twitch, watching from freaking Facebook. You know it. We're live and direct. And we appreciate you. I forget. Shout out to the Twitter fam. So, folks, quarterbacks did their job, man. Combined 26 for 29. Come on, man. 26 for 29, where was the Broncos defense today? My gosh. 26 for 29, 300 yards, 10 average, 2 touchdowns, no interceptions, combined 133 QBR. Excuse me, quarterback rating. So, that indication right now, 26 for 29, that's something Allen will do in a full game. And I can't wait. I can't wait for it. So quarterbacks, salute to you, y'all. Y'all did what you're supposed to do today. Offense was buzzing. We didn't punt till what? Fourth quarter? And the one guy they put in the fourth quarter to punt was Matt Hack. Let's keep it a buck. Matt Hack ain't making this team. Let's keep it a buck. I'm going to go out on a limb. And if he does, my gosh, what a mistake. But he ain't making this team. So give the reps to the freaking punter with the big leg. I'm going to double down on this. I want to see the punter with the big leg and Matt Ariza. I want to see what he does with a short field. How do you punt in a short field? How can you control that? A big leg is great. We've all seen that. But my goodness, man. Put the rookie in. I want to see how he punts in a short game. Short field, show me what you got. How much hang time you got. How much accuracy you got. You're going to blast that into the back of the end zone. We don't want that. We want to be able to pin you. Nope. They put Matt Hack in. Come on now. Damn. Moving on. We're going to get into that chatter afterwards because I have my take on the punting game. But we'll get into that afterwards. The run game. My goodness. My goodness. Raheem freaking Blackshear. I don't care what anybody has to say about what I'm about to say right now. I don't care. It's preseason. Chill out. All these preseason guys. It's freaking preseason. Man, I don't give a damn. You watching what I'm watching. You see how explosive it is. Well, you know what? We said the same thing about, you know what I'm saying, Christian Wade. We said the same thing about Brandon Riley. Where'd their turnout? Every year, there is something like that. But guess what? This might be an opportunity, because if you didn't realize what was going on here, this was the Raheem Blackshear versus Duke Johnson. They both return kicks. They had one return each. And Raheem Blackshear is trying to make this squad. Now, it's full backfield. Devin Singletary had four runs for 39 yards. He looked freaking great. James Cook, I'm going to get on James Cook in a minute. Right? Zach Moss, 4 for 19. He looked explosive. I'm going to tell you right now, he was in the red zone. That touchdown that got brought back. Dude, for a split second, I didn't know who was running the rock, because he looked explosive. He looked very electric. And dude had a burst to get into that end zone. I was like, okay, Zach Moss might have a year this year. Zach Moss is looking to, like, not only solidify his spot as RB2, because right now RB1 is going to Devin Singletary, but he's going to be poaching some carries from Devin Singletary. I'm going to tell you that right now, with the way he's running right now, and you got my man Deion Dawkins and Roger Saffron on the left side. Watch out for this freaking run game. Because he's looking mighty like himself. And I'm talking about Zach Moss. He's looking like Zach Moss that came out of Utah. He's got that Florida swag back to him. You know what I'm saying? These are all Florida boys, Miami boys. So he's got that swag back to him. But he looked good today. He looked strong, explosive, all of that. I'm liking what I'm seeing from Zach Moss. Zach Moss, 4 for 19, 5 yards a carry, 2 TDs. Watch out. Red zone. Watch out. Do you want to grab him in fantasy? Is Zach Moss worthy of a fantasy pick? Is Devin Singletary worthy of a fantasy pick? Is, dare I say, James Cook worthy of a fantasy pick? Well, if you are playing fantasy and you're part of a dynasty league, this might be the time. If you haven't done your draft yet, this might be the time to potentially grab a guy like James Cook. And if you haven't, and you have a draft shortly, think about it right now. If you are familiar with what I'm talking about, I'm talking about Dynasty Draft. If you are not part of Dynasty Draft, don't let me tell you about it. Let my man Z-Bot tell you about it. Check this out.
We all love fantasy football, but you've never experienced it like this. Dynasty Owner is the best way to play fantasy football. Do you have what it takes to be the best Dynasty Owner in the league? Download the Dynasty Owner app on the App Store or Google Play today to find out.
Jump all over it. Now, back to the run game. The run game was absolutely solid today. And I'm impressed. I'm thoroughly impressed with what I saw today. Dude, fellas, ladies, whoever's watching right now, 27 carries, 208 yards, almost 8 yards a carry. And Josh Allen was not in the game to give you those, you know what I mean, 21, 25-yard run. This was RB game all day. Almost 8 yards of carry, and we had 4 touchdowns. That's healthy. That is healthy, and I'll take that every single day. My goodness, man. It gives the quarterback some time to do what he's got to do. I'm telling you right now, man, Dante Jenkins, my man said, yo, his draft is in 2 weeks. Well, jump on that Dynasty. If you're not on Dynasty, man, listen, I'm going to tell you right now, man, Zach Moss might be nice. Devin Singletary, I've taken Devin Singletary twice this year. I even asked Devin Singletary when I talked to him this summer, this offseason. I said, fam, I took you 2 years in a row, man. And you know what I mean? Some people were stealing some of your touches. What can you give me this year? He's like, hey, I'm giving you the insurance that you can take me. Okay. So, you know what I mean? The man said it himself. But the RBs were something. Now, let me get on my man, James Cook. Everybody knows how I feel about Breece Hall. Breece Hall was the guy that I wanted. Boo-hoo-hoo, he's on the Jets. It is what it is. Now I have to hate him, unfortunately. But James Cook showed me something today, man. Last week, we didn't even get a chance to really see what he could do. He had like 4 carries. Meaningless. It didn't really stand out. But today, he looked elusive. He's not a guy that gives you like pure speed. You can see he has speed. He's just a fast back. Makes his decisions, and he's gone. You know what I'm saying? And I saw something that I'm like, okay, there's definitely a lot of potential with this dude. Because I'm seeing now what you guys saw. I just didn't see anything special or something that I can say, okay, that's that dude. But today gave me something to say, okay, you know what? That backfield is, it's a cocktail of backs, man. So you got a bruiser back in Zach Moss that looks explosive. You have the elusive. Did you see that move that Devin Singletary put on in one of his, I think his second carry? He made three dudes miss. Three dudes. And that one guy missed, he didn't even give him too much. It was just like he just backed up a little bit and let him go. Devin Singletary, great damn job. But this is about James Cook. I saw James Cook catch out of the backfield. I can see his elusiveness. And I can see how this could present some big problems for the other teams. And most people might say, but yo, you late. We've been talking about that. I needed to see it. And that's why preseason was important. We didn't get a chance to see it last week. I needed to see it. And I'm going to continue to monitor this because, like, fam, this goes beyond. I've said this before. This goes beyond this year. This goes into next year as well. See how he looks. Because, what, he's 5'10", 190, right? He looks a little slender. I don't know. He looks it. So is Raheem Blackshear. And they're about the same size, but they run different. So he's more of an elusive back. And I'm looking forward to seeing how they use him. I like what I saw today. I really did. I'm a fan of what I saw today from James Cook. I needed to see something. He showed me what I needed to see. And I'm like, okay, now I want more. God, that was nice. He's smooth, man. I'm not going to give it to him. He's smooth. That's one thing I noticed about him. He's very smooth. It's not a hard jab. It's just everything he does is a smooth move. I like it. Very big. Duke Johnson. That's a tough one, man. Duke Johnson, he's fighting, man. 9 carries, 55 yards. He had 2 touchdowns, like 6 yards a pop today. I don't know what they're going to do with this backfield. Devin's number one. Zach Moss, I would say he's number two. James Cook, obviously, is going to be number three. And then Taiwan Jones. Like, are we keeping Taiwan Jones? He doesn't get any carries. He's strictly special teams. Are we keeping Taiwan Jones? I don't know, man. That's going to be tough. And it's tough because Raheem Blackshear stood out a lot today. 5 carries, 58 yards. He had 11 yards a pop, 12, almost 11.6 yards. Fam, I like him, man. Some people are saying keep Blackshear and cut Taiwan. I don't know what they're going to do with Blackshear, man. I really don't. I see him returning kicks. But does he do more? I don't know, man. We'll see. It's a good problem to have. I don't know what direction this team is going to take, but yo, we'll see. And when you're ready, you know what to do. When you're ready, you give me the thumbs up and you jump on. You know who I'm talking about. But let me move on. I don't know what should I move on from the run game, or do you want to stick? You want me to stick on the run game because you might want to share some opinions on the run game.
Oh,
shit.
We're going to talk about that one.
What's
going on, everyone?
Listen. What's happening, bro?
I heard what you were talking about the running game, man. And listen, it's amazing. It's just like we came out on all cylinders every last phase of it, though.
You damn right.
From the running scheme to the running plays to even the blocking, it was just absolutely amazing all the way down. So, but as far as this whole, Blackshear, I mean, I don't know. He's looking good.
Are we making too much of this?
I know.
Some people might say we're making too much of this. Fellas, calm down.
It's preseason.
Brandon Riley, Nate Peterman. You feel me? Nate Peterman, right? Nate Peterman. You're saying Christian Wade. We've been here before. Duke.
Yeah, Duke. But look, what I'll say is this, though. You're the running back, right? Mm.
Talk to me.
You're the resident running back.
Hey.
So you know how it's supposed to look like, right? And it's like, and this is my beef with Moss. It's not that I don't like him, but it's just like the holes, it seems like it has to be open in order for him to have success. He doesn't have the necessary wiggle in order to make people miss in short spaces, right? Whereas, with Motor, RB1, he does that at a very high level. And then I'm looking at Blackshear. He's giving you that same wiggle. And I'm like, okay, I'm seeing something, So
I'm telling you right now, man. Scott Blakely says, yo, Belichick is grinning right now, Rico. Our cuts will be as starters on many teams. Damn, we are deep. You damn right. You damn right. By the way, shout out to my man, Scott Blakely. Scott Blakely was going shot for shot, you know what I mean, with Pierre today. So it was fun. It was fun to see. It was definitely fun to see. This, fellas, this run game. By the way, if you guys are tuning in right now, there's 357 people for preseason. Preseason. If you guys are tuning in right now, smash that like. If you like what you're hearing right now and you like what you see, throw that microphone on the screen right this second in the chat. Rev, you let me know when you're ready to go, boss. Oh, shit. Rev couldn't let that be, man. He wanted in.
Yo, what's up, my brothers?
He wanted something.
What up, Rev?
What up, baby?
Listen, you watched the game, man. You saw the run game.
Oh, man.
How'd you feel about that?
That game was gorgeous, man. I loved everything about that game except the penalties. Couldn't deal with the penalties. But other than that, man, it was a clean game all across the board, man. I know I heard you guys talking about the run game. And Rico, man, and you and Pierre, I'm going to say something about Blackshear and Duke, man. I think these two guys are battling for that spot, man.
You're damn right.
Because both of them, if you guys saw it, both of them were both getting reps at kick returner too, man. So that lets me know that those guys are battling for that last spot, and it's going to come down to probably that kick return job. You know what I'm saying? Because I like what Blackshear did, man. I'm not trying to get into the hype train. You know what I'm saying? I get it. It's preseason, but how could you not like what you saw out of him? Even returning the kicks, man. He looked good. He and Duke is not very comfortable right now, man. Like Blackshear is coming for him.
Well, listen,
I think when it comes down to Moss, I think when it comes down to Moss, because I think Moss is the big name here, and I know people aren't trying to talk about it because.
But what are you saying? Because you're bumping guns, but you're not really saying anything. What are you really trying to say?
I think he might be the surprise cut, man.
We have it. That's what I was waiting for.
I mean,
bumping guns.
I think he's no. Yeah, I mean, I just don't think that it's hard to look at, and it's hard for what they're showing us, right? Because, you know, Duke is getting almost all the, you know, returning duties right now, right? And it's 2 weeks in a row. And then you have Blackshear, you know, looking how he's looking. You're like, okay, I mean, and then again, you have Motor who can do all the things that Moss brings you. So it's like, I don't know, but go ahead.
But here's my thing, though, about Moss. And I can't get away from it, because if they cut Moss, to me, this is what I think they're going to do. They have to re-sign Motor, right? Because Motor's in a contract year. So for me, if the plan is not Motor going forward, Moss has another year on the deal. You know what I'm saying? So to me, that's why I kind of think Moss stays, because he's still on a longer deal than Motor is. He won't be due until the following year after Motor. So, but if they cut him, man, are they bringing Motor back after this season? That's the thing.
I'm going to disagree with both of you guys about this cutting Moss. It's not happening. Moss remains on the squad. They brought him in right after Devin Singletary.
That's what I'm saying.
Both of them are the same age. Both of them are the same age. One has less touches than the other. All right? That's number one. We have a rejuvenated Zach Moss. He won't be moved. He gives us a different dynamic when it comes to those two backs. Right now, it goes Singletary, Moss, and then James Cook. There's your three backs this year. That's it. Those are your three backs. Now, Taiwan Jones is a different story. He's an RB that's taking that RB option when we could keep Duke Johnson as a kick returner, or we could keep Blackshear, but we'll see. But Zach Moss should not be in the conversation of us moving on from him. I'm not hating on that idea, because cutting would be one thing, and if I'm going to entertain it, I'd say trade would be another. Maybe they trade him instead of cut him. Get something for him. Dude is a good back. He's a good back, and he's finally healthy. But not to get into that damper, I want to stay on a good note. It was really good to see the O-line together. We talked about it last night. We wanted to see what the O-line would look like. And Roger Saffold and Deion Dawkins might be a beautiful pairing, gentlemen.
They look nice together, man.
Come on now.
Nice, man. I've been waiting for it, man. I knew once Saffold got in there, he got fully healthy. I knew he was going to be a dog in the run game, man. And he just freaking was killing it.
That's exactly what it was too, for sure.
I'm looking forward to it. Then let's go to the RB. Excuse me. We'll come back because we're gonna talk about the good, the bad, the ugly in this game. But the receiving room, man. Did anybody stand out to you in the receiving room today? And Pierre, let me start with you, because you were watching the game live. Anybody stand out to you?
Yeah. I mean, it's hard not to say Gabe, of course, right? I mean, because Gabe has been making plays over and over and over again in camp. So, but I'm actually excited to see what's going to happen with Isaiah Hodgins now, right? Because I thought he had a good game today. And he's making, I think he's making a name for himself as a guy who can, you know, make those big plays, you know, when called upon.
I think I might listen, man. It's looking tough because Kumerow didn't look so bad either today. Kumerow looked good, and he was getting early reps. Kumerow was getting the early reps. Hodgins didn't get until late in the game. So what that means, who knows? I think we'll get more of an indication next game. But I don't know, man. That one's a tough one. That's a really tough one. That's another one that you might see him on another squad making moves because we're just deep. We're just deep. It's just that's just the thing, man. So today, Khalil Shakir was our one of our better receivers today, 3 for 59 yards. Gabriel Davis had 2 for 47. Gabriel Davis, folks, is the hype. The hype, it can't get any better than what you saw today. We've been talking about Gabe Davis, but today was clear. Dude, Josh Allen is building something with Gabe.
Come on, talk about it. Come on.
And if those guys get on the same page,
they already are.
It's a wrap.
And he's already in lockstep with Stephon Diggs. You have receiver one, receiver two, and you guys are like this.
Oh, dude.
Yo.
Oh, man.
And I didn't even bring up Isaiah McKenzie. I didn't even bring up Crowder. I didn't even bring up Khalil Shakir.
You know what? Let's bring up Crowder. Let's bring up Crowder.
I'm glad you did, because I was going to talk about him. Yeah.
All right. Jameson Crowder today. 2 receptions for 21, and he caught both his targets. So, to me, most folks are saying, man, I don't know, man. Crowder, he's competing with Isaiah McKenzie, and McKenzie has done everything he can to really solidify himself as the number three receiver. Yeah. Then you have the rookie Khalil Shakir that's doing really good things. Why are we keeping Crowder, and why are we paying him that money? We could be giving that money to Jordan Poyer. Well, there was a play that Crowder caught near that should have been a touchdown, but my man threw the ball a little late, right? And Isaiah McKenzie was wide open. First of all, Isaiah McKenzie was wide open. But here's what I wanted to say. I saw both of them on the field. Well, there's going to be times where you get both these guys on the field. Pick your poison.
They look good together, man. They look good together.
They look good together. So why get rid of them? They look good together. So I'm not even looking. I'm going receiver. We're good until 5. It's that 6th receiver spot. Is it Kumerow? Is it Hodgins? Is it Tavon Austin? I mean, I think the Tavon Austin, that we can shut that door. We didn't even see him return. Did you see him return games today? Return anything?
Nothing.
And I called it out too. It's like, okay, we haven't even seen him. Like, that was his whole calling card, right? Like, that was where everyone was putting him as making the roster as a returner. And it's like, okay, we haven't seen you.
Well, Jason Miller comes in and says, Hodgins, he is Gabe part 2. Catches everything with his hands. Diggs, Gabe, Isaiah, Crowder, Shakir, Hodgins, Kumerow. We're not keeping 7.
And now Shakir did it 2 weeks in a row.
Absolutely.
He's consistent with it.
Thank you. Sure. Thank you very much. And listen, man, this is a fantastic problem to have. I'm gonna say this. I made this tweet in the I made this message in the chat. Does Khalil Shakir remind you of anybody that used to be a former Bill? I'll make it easy. A former Bill. Does he remind you of anybody?
Robert Woods?
Thank you very much.
Yeah, man.
Yo, Khalil gives me Robert Woods vibe, and I'll tell you why.
Big time.
It's not about they run similar. They've got that dog mentality, because that was the downfall of Robert Woods, because sometimes Robert Woods would try to do too much, and then he was always fumbling the football until he had to calm down a little bit.
Sure. Oh, yeah.
Right? You remember that, right? So Khalil Shakir, this guy has no quit. He's a catch the football, and he's always looking for yak.
Yes.
He's always looking for yak. Love that about Khalil Shakir.
Yes.
So that is huge. And when you have, if I can compare you to Robert Woods, you're in good company, because Robert Woods is a dog. Robert Woods is a dog. But listen, man, our receiving group is solid.
That's super deep.
For the future, man. Like we're good, not just for 1 year, down the road, man. We're looking nice.
We're nasty down the road, right? So this receiver, listen, man, Stephon Diggs had 2 for 33, and that pretty route runner. This guy, we already know what it is with him, right? Crowder. So are we good? Are we questioning Crowder? I don't want to get off that Crowder talk. Are we questioning him? Are we feel like, I mean, he's going to remain?
No,
on the
squad. I would say he's just playing catch up, man. It's because of the injuries. He's playing catch up, and unfortunately, Lil Durty was just doing the thing, man, all training camp. You know what I'm saying? So he has a step over him. But Crowder, man, even in his limited, I guess, game action he saw today, he still was looking good. He was getting heated up, man. So I think that battle is still a battle we need to look out for, man, for the rest of the preseason. Yeah.
So I gotta ask you guys a question. All right. Let me write this down here. Today's game, did anything stand out to you guys where you'd say, make you say, right? Did anything make you say, today? Can I start?
Yeah, go ahead.
Should I start? I think it's the obvious. I don't know why you guys didn't even think about what I was going to say. Well, I'm gonna just jump right in there. Obviously, unfortunately, we have Dawson Knox that was away.
I don't know what you're going to say now. Yeah, I got you.
And you would think that O.J. Howard would be the next man up.
Very strange, man.
Yes.
Now, let's I wish I had that effect to go back in time. Let's go back in time to last week. Last week, I found it very odd that I saw O.J. Howard playing like near in the third and fourth quarter. I was like, what?
Oh, he was in the last series.
Yeah. I was like, what's that? What's he doing there? He shouldn't be there. Now, obviously things happen. So sometimes you're like, hey, I want to get a look, or somebody needs a breather. They're damn sure ain't going to send Dawson Knox back in. Jump back in there. But you had Quentin Morris in and Tommy Sweeney. Why wouldn't you put those guys in? But you chose to put O.J. Howard in. Now, let's fast forward. Fast forward, right? Mm-hmm. This week, right? Tommy Sweeney gets this. Quentin Morris and Tommy Sweeney get the head first. They get into the game first. What? What is up with that? What's going on with O.J. Howard?
It's Quentin Morris to me. Mm. So, it was Quentin Morris over O.J. Howard? Like, O.J. Howard, first round pick, this guy is supposed to be. I mean, listen. I mean, huge shout out to Quentin Morris. I mean, he's been grinding. He's been doing his thing.
Yeah.
But it's still Quentin Morris over O.J. Howard. That's what was tripping me out when I saw it.
Absolutely.
It could be. I mean, we saw it, though, right, with that penalty when he wasn't lined up on the line of scrimmage. And Crowder, a guy who both Crowder and O.J. Howard came to the team same time, and Crowder was up here telling them, yo, get on the line of scrimmage. He didn't get it, so I think it could just be I think it could just be like he's just not grasping the offense enough. He's still making these crazy mistakes. You know what I'm saying? So and Pierre had said it in his live stream. He's like, "Yo, maybe." And I think Pierre, you're kind of, I think you were going a little bit easy on him, but maybe the dude just ain't smart enough for this offense. You know what I'm saying? Like maybe he just ain't grasping it.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying?
Sure. Like, you know, because we all know that this offense is very difficult to understand. Tavon Austin even made the same allusion to it too. So maybe he's just a slower learner, and he's making these same mistakes. And you got a guy like Sweeney and that are just taking reps away from him. But it is concerning though.
You guys went to school with we all went to high school, right? And middle school. We'll go middle school, maybe elementary school. I mean, there was always one of the students in the classroom that didn't quite, you know what I'm saying, catch on to things quickly. So what do they do with that student normally? They usually send them to another classroom, so there's less distractions, less this, and you don't really see them with the big group. So you're telling me that he's slow learning the offense potentially. We don't know that. We're obviously speculating.
Yeah, just speculation.
Do you keep a slow learner on the offense when the regular season's around the corner?
Dang, you know what I'm saying?
Have time for that?
Like, what makes it tough is that he's got so much potential. You know what I'm saying? It's like, dang, if he can grasp the offense, I mean, this is a long season, so you just don't want to just cut bait with him, because then, like, I still think that if he grasps the offense, he's still a much better option than Tommy Sweeney, in my opinion. You know what I'm saying? So I think you're willing to kind of slow play it with him just because of the talent and the potential that you have in him.
So then what
I think right now, though, I think it's time to at least just throw it out there.
It is. Listen,
it's actually time to at least, okay, who the hell is Quentin Morris, right?
Because maybe he's just that good.
Big move. Exactly.
Yeah. Right?
We'll see. I mean, he's a former receiver, you know what I'm saying, transitioning to the tight end position, kind of like Duke Williams, right? Former receiver transitioning to the tight end, and that project didn't work out the way we wanted. Maybe they find something in Quentin Morris, and he's been working on his blocking, so who knows what's going on. And it's not a bad thing, right? And I don't want it to be a poo-poo on OJ Howard. It's just very interesting that Quentin Morris and Thomas Sweeney got a little more time over Howard. Now, Howard did catch a football. Today I tweeted that, man, it's not a good look for OJ Howard to be in this position, but kudos to, you know what I'm saying, Tommy Sweeney and Quentin Morris, you know what I mean, getting some time in. And I mean, sometimes we got to watch out how we tweet because it affects people, right? And no shade to Miss Howard. I don't know if it's Miss Howard. I don't know. But his old lady was like, man, come on, son. Like, she was pretty much saying, like, relax. Because somebody was like, hey, man, how'd you like that touchdown? The response was clear, man. I would have loved it if it was with the first team, but it was in the second and third team.
Right.
I would have loved it, but it was in the second and third team. So, but she was like, right? I was like, fam, no disrespect to your man. No disrespect. I'm just saying. Everybody says the same thing. What's happening? Right? So that was the thing that made me say,
Yeah, man.
Did anything else make you guys say, And it may not be negative. It may be something like, okay, I see that. Anything in that game? Should I jump in again?
Nah,
I don't know, man.
There were so many great things,
a lot of things, man.
Now, name them. What I will say, though, is that I was surprised, if we're kind of going back to maybe like the, you know, bad and the ugly, maybe, is the...
We'll get there.
Our kick return coverage was a little surprising, right? Because we're supposed to have all these, you know, gunners and all these aces, you know, the Taiwan Jones, the, you know, Neils of the world and the Kumaros. And you know, we were struggling in that department. So, you know, I was definitely surprised about that.
I'll tell you one that just made me say like, like in a good way.
Okay, let's talk about it.
That was Shaq Lawson.
Mm.
Shaq Lawson came out of nowhere today. I'm like, I've been on record as saying, yo, Shaq, I don't think he's going to make the squad, man. The defense is just too deep. He came in and I was telling Pierre, I was like, he's gonna make me eat my words. I'm about to put some seasoning on my words, so, you know what I'm saying? So that way it could go down easier. Because Shaq Lawson came out the gate like on fire. I think he charged
instantly.
Defense, man. He was like killing it. So Shaq, he was very noticeable, man. I was like, yo, all right, Shaq, I see you, man. I see you.
He was definitely noticeable today. The bat down, how he looked up, that could have been interception.
Oh, man, that could have been interception,
So stout against the run. I saw jack up the lineman and hold him there just to see what's going on and had to make the running back turn back inside. So legit, that'll make you definitely say, Here's one that made me say, right? Early in the game, I don't know if you guys noticed it. I saw Tremaine Edmonds on the field. I saw Matt Milano on the field. And I saw Tyrell Dotson on the field.
Mm-hmm.
We were 4-3. We haven't done that in a long time. We're a nickel defense.
Yeah.
We're 4-3. So maybe we start to see a lot more diversity in our defense, and we started going a little more 4-3.
And we've been looking good at the 4-3 a lot, though.
We have.
We did it a lot last week as well.
So I like that, man. So defensive side of ball, we're gonna go over to the defense. Baylen Spector once again leads the team with tackles. He had 8. I'm telling you right now, man, Andre Smith, don't forget, Andre Smith is going. He's out for 6 games.
Yeah, he's
right?
Does
that open the room? Does that open the spot for Baylen Spector? I mean,
I think it does.
I'm just saying, man, because Tyrell Dotson, you know he's got that extension. Listen, man, this team is stacked. I'm just going to say that. This team is, we've got some good players.
Top to bottom, man.
Let's talk about it, man. So that's why we're going to get right into it. The good, the bad, the ugly. We talked a lot. There's a lot of good. It's going to be very difficult to find some bad in this. So let me just jump into the good, the bad, the ugly from my banners here real quick. And I'm going to start, Rev, I'm going to start with you, man.
All right.
And the good. I mean, we'll rhyme off a few goods and bads and all that stuff. But what stood out to you as like, okay, that was good. I like that. That was good.
Okay. I'll go in a different direction here with my good because I think it's obvious, right? I mean, I love Gabe Davis. I absolutely love that first drive by the offense. Fantastic. Yep. Loved it.
Amazing.
Oh my gosh. That just gave me like, oh dude, I loved every bit of it. But I'm gonna say Case Keenum here, man. I think Keenum rebounded, man.
Oh, he did.
Rebounded from game one. He came here in game two and looked like he was like, okay, yo, this all you guys who are talking, that's me, about yo, Barkley possibly being, you know what I'm saying, the backup quarterback. Let me show you why I'm here. And that offense was very efficient when he was playing. I loved what Case Keenum did, man. Very efficient, man. Very, very on time. I love what he brought to the table, man. I think Case Keenum did very well game two, man. Nice like rebound it. From Case.
I like it. Let me jump in on there because we talked about, obviously, the run game was great. You know what I love to see today that was good was Jaquan Johnson. That boy, he stands out. I saw him nice. Fill the gap.
Every time.
Dude, Johnson, boy, he better get some play time, man. Because we still yeah. haven't saw.
How does he get play time? Though? That's the thing, though. Yeah. He's like, he's in a rare position because you're like, right. you're there good, you but you're not going to play. So it's like, what do we do with you?
Yeah.
What do you do? Listen, man, it's just one of those little things, man. So that was something that stood out to me, the good. Maybe we could talk about a whole bunch of things. But, Ed, Pierre, give me something that stood out to you that was like, okay, yo, that was nice. That was good.
Listen, I was just a fan of how...
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk. But it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic. So now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink. Which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
How absolutely dominant, you know, Ken Dorsey called this game.
There you go, baby.
I mean, you know, for us to have a...
Like that. Great point.
You know, pretty much a perfect game, you know, all throughout the game. And, you know, he kept it simple. Like, whatever was working, he kept on going back at it. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, big, big fan of Ken Dorsey.
I like it. I'm a big fan. So, yeah. You know what?
Team was nice.
We could there was a lot of good today, but it's going to be very tough to find the bad. So, let's get right into it. Who wants to start with this one?
Silence. Pierre already mentioned it, man.
Yeah.
That was
probably the worst thing right there.
All right, cool. The punt coverage. You got next. What you got?
Yeah. Punt coverage was bad. Again, man, with the sloppy penalties, man.
Okay.
It was bad, but you know what I'm saying? I think it was Kyrie Elam, man, with those handsies, man.
You know, thank you. I was about to say it.
Because fam, like I'm like looking at Kyrie. I'm like, all right, this is our first round draft pick, right? We heard in camp, you know, he's been kind of handsy, and I'm like, all right, you know, he'll grow out of it, right? It's just a technique thing. But yo, again today, here we go. He comes in with the illegal hands in the face. He's just looking somewhat uncomfortable, like, you know what I'm saying? And he's paving the way for my man Christian Benford to just go ahead and steal that job for him. You know what I'm saying? Now I'm not,
you know what you're saying?
You know what I'm saying? Like it's,
you better watch your boy.
I know it. It's gonna be tough. I'm calling it out, but I'm not going to say that is West was going to happen.
He's backing up.
It's looking that it's heading that way, though, man. You know what I'm saying? Because here's my thing. I don't know how Sean McDermott and them are going to be able to put him on the bench when they drafted him in round one. That's just me. Now, if I'm looking at play for play from the first two games so far, to me, it's Benford has been outplaying Kyrie Elam, in my opinion. He's been outplaying him. But when the week one starts, I don't know how they're gonna sit Kyrie Elam on the bench. You know what I'm saying? Just because of that round one kind of thing. You know what I'm saying? So he's been grabsy today, man. I didn't like it, and it's not gonna be easy for him because that's a point of emphasis now from the refs this year, is that illegal contact, and so he's gonna have to learn better technique to get over that, man. But Benford is looking
some
like
people jumping on with you, man. You're getting some
Benford is looking like that guy, man. He and Dane Jackson. It's going to be tough, man.
Well, listen, we talked about it last night. It was really nice to see, you know, I mean, some great play by both corners last game, but consistency was one thing that I wanted to see. Okay, show it to me again, right?
Again.
And
that's what I was looking for. Yeah.
You said do it again. And today he didn't have a horrible game. Neither one of them had a horrible game, Bedford did have some penalties himself. I think he had a hands to the face, and negated a good play from the defense. And Bedford cost us number 47. So they were, I mean, the challenges are going to get stiffer, right? The one thing that I will realize is that they're competing with one another. You're obviously going to give it to Elam because he's your first round draft pick. And you want to give him more time because Dane Jackson came in and they left his ass on that side. That's yours. You know what I'm saying? You're the cornerback going in once Trey White.
He showed out too.
Oh, he did show up. You feel me? So, and it was a questionable call when they called him on the PI. That was questionable, man. That wasn't good coverage. But altogether, really the bad, like you said it, the penalties. Man, we had too many penalties. We had eight penalties for 68 yards. That's going to negate a lot of things for us. But we're trying not to do that. And from there, man, there's not really that much bad. Did anything stand out to you that was ugly?
I think the only other thing is that, you know, two games in a row, you know, Cody Ford is...
Oh, buns.
I mean, he's showing again. He's just not that guy, man. You know, it's like what are we doing? Like, we're trying to force feed it because he's, you know, second round pick, you know, is he's just not that guy. I think it's time to turn the page and keep it moving.
Damn. Well, I will say this though. I want to go back to make him say, because there's one thing that did make me want to say, If you looked at our starting line today, our starting O-line, we got Deion Dawkins, Roger Saffold, Mitch Morse. You know where I'm going with this. Ryan Bates, David Questenberry. And it wasn't because our big mountain of a man was hurt. He played. But Questenberry got the start at right tackle. I was like, that made me say, what? Okay, what's going on?
I'm going to have to watch that again just to kind of see exactly how he played. But that right there was extremely intriguing because I'm like, okay.
Absolutely.
Because Brown, like, he still played. So it's like, okay, then why didn't you start?
That's what I'm talking about. It doesn't make sense. Well, like, we're going to make him start against the second team because we're nursing him back. Then you don't play him, period. I don't know what's going on. But I think everyone's going to be all eyes on that right tackle position.
Questenberry has been starting since camp. Like, he's been doing it early, man.
But you know what? He was started because Spencer Brown was out. Okay. Yeah. Now Spencer Brown is back. So what are we doing here? What are we freaking doing? So, I mean, shoot, I'm starting to, where there's smoke, there's fire.
But that's it ain't bad though, because he's still playing good though. You know what I'm saying? So, like, it's not like the O-line is like Mr. Beat with Questenberry in there.
Somebody told me this is very
interesting.
I'm talking Cody Ford over Bobby Hart though. Yo, what is with the chatter with Bobby Hart? We already know what Bobby Hart is, man. We know what Bobby Hart is. We're not talking about no damn Bobby Hart.
Come on.
But I found that very, very interesting nonetheless that Spencer Brown came in with the second unit and he played. It wasn't like he was like a healthy scratch. He played.
Yeah.
Like, what's going on with
him? Just don't play him for sure.
What's going on with that?
Yeah.
And I know McDermott is one of those guys that likes to tweak things. You know what I mean? Okay, what does Questenberry look like with the starting line? Let's see what that looks like. So maybe it's an experiment. It doesn't mean anything. Mm. But like, I found that very, very interesting. It does make you kind of say, what's happening? Just before we jump into more Bills chatter, we're gonna invite my guy Evan. Evan, you good? I put you in there. I wasn't sure if you're ready to go.
Hey.
No, I'm 100% ready, man. I just got back from the game and it was a sunny day. As you guys can see, my face is just red. I got burnt like toast. For a good reason. I was sitting row one, got some nice tickets, sitting right on the I'm flexing. But it was a great game. And I know you guys are talking about Bobby Hart, right?
Yeah.
I just hopped in here. I think Bobby Hart might have a shot to make this roster.
Well,
you gotta sell it.
Well, I don't need to sell it. He's doing it for himself on the field. He's playing really well, right? You know, you got a guy like Bobby Hart who's very versatile. You know, he can play tackle and guard. Bobby Hart at points and times throughout camp has lined up at the guard position. Today, he was playing out at the tackle position. And him and Cody Ford both look good together on combo blocks getting to the second level. That's why a lot of the run game was working really well today for guys like Duke Johnson and Raheem Blackshear. So I think as much as we, dog on a guy like Bobby Hart, you got to give him his props. And he's been playing well. Also the fact that you got to look at, again, Bobby Hart had his struggles, right? But, a new offense or O-line coach and Aaron Cromer is here. And, you know, maybe Bobby Hart's learning a little bit from him. Maybe, you know, he's improving his game. I don't know. I'm not saying he's a lock for this roster, but if he makes the roster.
You backing up, huh? What? You backing
up? I'm not backing up.
And then you went, hold on a second. Now that I'm in the shade, I'm not in the sun anymore, it's not so hot, let me reverse that bitch.
I think he did a good job, though. I think Evan did a good job right there,
but,
man.
Because realistically, Bobby Hart has done his thing. He's done his thing.
Well, hold on. Let's not forget who the hell we're playing today. We played the Broncos that absolutely freaking quit. They had no fight in them.
I don't know what they were doing today.
Guys like Bobby Hart and Cody Ford, I mean, I have more confidence in Cody Ford than I do Bobby Hart. But the depth can't be that bad that we talking about Bobby Hart here. Now we don't make the final decisions. We don't know what's going on. Butker obviously is not back. You feel me? So I mean, maybe that's why he sticks around. But hey, listen, stranger things have happened, but I'm not gonna sit here and hear you tell me. You know, saying Bobby Hart, he played well. Listen, yeah,
I think he did a good job.
I think, you know, I'm like looking at the comments. People are 50-50 with it. But, you know, I just have to kind of, you know, sit back and look at the fact that, you know, with the way this O-line has been going out throughout camp, we are banged up throughout the majority of training camp. Bobby Hart was a guy who came in and filled at the guard position. And then, you know, he's on the second team, third team now, and he's, you know, going and playing at the tackle position. He's very versatile, right? He's versatile. You know how much Sean McDermott loves versatility. If a guy like Bobby Hart can play guard and tackle and play it solidly, doesn't have to play it great, can just do his job as a plug-and-play player. I'm just saying, just watch out for Bobby Hart. He might sneak up on the 53.
I'll give him some credit, man. I'm with you. I mean, he did. I did notice that he looked better than he has before. And you had mentioned it earlier, and I think this has a lot to do with Aaron Cromer. A lot to do with him, man. Because Aaron Cromer, man, he's coming in here and it's the effect, man. It's the Cromer effect. We know when he gets his hands on an O-line, the O-line looks
tremendous. And we haven't even talked about that enough, right?
No, we haven't. We haven't, man. There's a reason why Sean McDermott brought him on, man. He knew that they weren't getting the production or the development out of some of these younger guys from Bobby Johnson. And so they bring in a guy like Aaron Cromer, who has a long resume of developing O-line talent, and they bring him in, and we're starting to see the effects of it already, even with guys like Bobby Hart and Cody Ford, who I can't believe that we're even talking about. But I mean, they actually, you know, played admirably today, except there was one play that Cody Ford, when we saw that good run by my man James Cook, bounced it outside. You know, speed did that because Cody Ford completely whiffed on the play. The guy was all in the backfield, and had it not been for the speed of James Cook, he would have gotten a tackle for loss. But anyway.
I think the Cromer effect is big, though. I mean, every time he's coached for the Bills, we had the number one running game, right?
So Back-to-back seasons.
So imagine having the number one running game.
Oh, my gosh.
With the unicorn up at quarterback.
Well, listen, man, D Raleigh comes in. We appreciate that super chat, D. And says, what's up, guys? Just got out of Marine Corps after 4 good years and coming home to Rochester. Thank you for all the entertainment and awesome shows. Let's go get that Super Bowl Buffalo all the way this time. My man.
Let's go.
Just got out of the Marine Corps. Salute to you, my G.
That is awesome.
I'm listening to Evan talk about the O-line and Bobby Hart. And I'm like, hold on a second. Let me see what we have on this old line that's got Evan so confident that my man can come in and really do some damage as one of our I guess alignment that makes his team. And I'm not saying it's impossible because anything is possible. Ask Kevin Garnett; he'll tell you that. But if you look and you look around, I'm on the money today, guys. So you got Roger Saffold, Ike Bucker, then you get Greg Van Rotten. All right. Then you got Greg Mass, that's going to be on the inside. You got Ryan Bates, Cody Ford, Taron Owen, Questenberry, Spencer Brown, Bobby Hart. So there's your depth. So we already know who our starters are. Your depth is sitting here at Ike Bucker, but he's out. And I forgot, Tommy Doyle's in that. And you got Luke Tanetta, right? So Tommy Doyle's going to be your depth. How many linemen are we keeping? 8? Maybe 9?
I would say 9 to 10. I would say that.
You think we're keeping 10? Did we keep 10? No, I think we kept
10. 10's the max, but I'd say 9's the safe spot to pick.
Okay, let's say we keep safe, right?
And that's where the versatility comes into play too, right?
Absolutely. So Tommy Doyle, right? We're gonna assume Spencer Brown assumes his starting right tackle. So Tommy Doyle. Then you've got Ike Butker. Then you've got David Questenberry. Then you got Greg Mantz as your interior O-line. There's your nine. So then are, you know what? I'll put Cody Ford in over Bobby Hart. There's 10. Fam.
Yeah.
Bobby Hart?
It's over for Cody Ford, man.
You also have to remember, Butker is not going to start the season on the roster, most likely. So a guy like Bobby Hart, yeah.
And
Bobby Hart might make it.
I brought you 10, so I brought it down. So now it's going to be between Hart and Greg Mantz. We'll see. And Van Rotten, maybe they like Van Rotten, but I didn't really see much of Van Rotten, so who knows, right? But anyway, nonetheless, I ain't talking about damn Bobby Hart. You got me spending 10 minutes talking about Bobby damn Hart. You feel me?
Yeah, I liked what I saw, man.
I'd rather talk about another Bobby Hart, but we're talking about this Bobby Hart. But anyway,
there you go.
There you go. So,
yes, sir.
Nonetheless, the Bills absolutely trampled all over the freaking the Denver Broncos. I mean, I don't know what it is about Highmark Stadium. I'm calling it Highmark Stadium, but I don't know what it is about Highmark Stadium. But like, it's like these guys, that 35,000 people that were in there, including Evan, y'all must have just demoralized these guys because they just stopped playing.
So funny story. So basically, I have season tickets at 114, but my buddy was there who is a Bills and Broncos fan, and his dad and him had tickets at for row one. And he was like, hey, go sit with your buddy, right? So I was sitting with my buddy in row one, and he had his Russell Wilson jersey on the entire time. And you know, no hit against Russell Wilson, but like, you're wearing the Broncos jersey at a Bills game. I'm gonna poke fun with you a little bit. Camera's on us all day. I'm just going booing him for like as a joke and stuff. I got the whole section just messing with him, and like his family was right behind us, and my family, and like some other people we know.
Oh man.
Everyone's,
you know, I was feeling good. And you know, when you win 47-12, you should feel good.
You're damn right. We absolutely we gave it to them, man. And altogether, I mean, when you look at what we did today, it's indicative of like how special a season that we could have. And I know preseason doesn't mean a whole lot, but we should be doing what we're doing to these guys. He said, Rev, don't laugh at the name. I am the king. Yo, Pullout King's been watching us for a long time. What up, Pullout King? What's up, my G? Pullout King, he don't know. He don't know that you've been around for a while, man. I got to give him a shout out. But nonetheless, I love what we've been able to show to a lot of people without showing them anything.
It was amazing.
Basic stuff. Run the ball down your throat, and that's what it is, man.
What do you guys think about the balance of the offense, man? I couldn't get away from that, man. I knew that was a point of emphasis for them in the offseason, right? I mean, Sean McDermott has been talking about it, but now you see it, and they're not even game planning. They're just running, like you said, basic plays with the talent that they have. And oh my gosh, imagine what happens when they actually start to game plan. They can literally morph like Power Rangers into whatever they want to be, any game, any week. They can switch it on a dime. This offense is going to be unstoppable, man. When you pair Josh Allen with this type of a run game, we saw Motor. My man Motor was looking fantastic, by the way. But when you pair it with him,
Motor looked good. Let me flip it to defense, because we already know, like, we know our offense is going to be pretty legit this year. We were a top 10 offense last year. I mean, number one defense last year. But I want to flip it to the defensive side, because we had some guys come in and show out. Boogie Basham, man. Yo.
Oh,
again.
Boogie Basham? I'm impressed with what I've seen from Boogie Basham.
Yeah.
I'll tell you right now. I think it was in the second series, and the play was a dead play. I don't know what happened, but Boogie absolutely jacked up and pancaked the left tackle.
Yeah, he did.
I said, holy, man. I'm telling you, man.
Yo, but are we going to give a shout out to my man AJ? I know he's not going to get credit for that sack, but
Epinesa was
that was a great play.
That's another thing I'm looking at right now. The depth for the linemen. Steve Tasker was talking about it. I think there were about like 12 defensive linemen that we have on the squad, and he says three of them are getting cut. I'm like, damn, like who's getting cut? So I'm naming them to you, right? Greg Rousseau, Boogie Basham, Mike Love, Kingsley Jonathan, Ed Oliver, Jordan Phillips, Brandon Bryant. With Brandon Bryant is playing extremely well.
He is.
You guys don't know who that is. That was number 93. Yeah. This guy was everywhere. He was active. Then you got Prince Amili, Daquan Jones, Tim Settle, Eli Onku, CJ Breyer. Okay. And I even get onto the other side. Then you got Von Miller, Epinesa, Shaq Lawson, Daniel Joseph. So out of those guys, you got Ed Oliver, Daquan Jones, Von Miller. So you got four there. Greg, Ed, Daquan, Miller. There's your four. Then you got Boogie, Jordan, Tim Settle, AJ Epinesa. There's eight. Then you got Mike Love, Brandon Bryan, Eli Onku, Shaq Lawson.
I think it comes down. Yeah, I mean, I think the AJ one is, he's been flashing. He's been, just 2 weeks in a row that he's flashed a little bit.
I think, right? We kept eight guys last year, eight or nine, I believe.
Yeah.
So
do we keep 10?
It'll be interesting.
Because Shaq Lawson and Mike Love.
If we keep eight, that means Shaq Lawson's gone.
Shaq was awesome today, man.
He was excellent.
He was excellent today.
Everywhere. Just
Shaq
everywhere.
Played better than AJ today.
Well, listen, when it's contract time, you know how that happens. When it's contract time, we play harder. When it's like you're on the bubble and you know you're on the bubble, and it's not because your talent is just, it's a numbers game. And
Mike Love has also had back-to-back weeks as well, though.
Yeah, he has.
Yes, he played very well as well.
So it's, I can't see it. Like,
Boogie AJ Dash ain't safe, game. Man.
Jordan
AJ
Phillips, not safe. Safe, I would say. Tim Settle, safe. AJ Epinesa, safe? Question mark?
No.
I think it's a question mark.
Are you keeping Shaq Lawson over AJ Epinesa?
The way he played today, yes.
The thing about Shaq Lawson is that, like, he plays us, he has a role, and his role is just to set the edge.
Absolutely.
Whatever you do, that's all you.
That's his strength.
For AJ, is more so the pass rusher, right? So it's like, you know, do we want more of the pass rusher, or do we want a guy who just, you know, plays his role? So
that's pretty much what that plays up. James comes in with a super chat, says, yo, waiting on Evan's take on the Ball family.
I'm assuming that's like Lonzo, LaMelo, LeVar, LiAngelo, like the Ball. Like, you guys watch basketball. You were a Laker fan, Rico. You know Lonzo Ball?
Big fans.
I'm trying to find out where you're going with this.
Lonzo Ball.
What about him?
Number two overall pick, Lonzo Ball, one of the best point guards in the NBA. His brother, LaMelo Ball, one of the best young point guards in the NBA. LiAngelo, getting some chances in the G League. LeVar.
Okay, if you want to have your take and then want you talk about the Ball family, you know what I'm saying? What's LiAngelo? Is LiAngelo going to make it into the league or what?
No, he might not make it into the actual full-scale NBA, but he does do his thing in the G League, and that's the thing with LiAngelo. He is a phenomenal G League player.
He is
great. You know, he is a good coach. Put me in for 12 minutes. I'm getting you 8 points. Who's the best Ball? LaMelo. I think it's LaMelo.
You shouldn't have hesitated. LaMelo is best.
I'm about to say,
Or LeVar. Because LeVar can beat Michael Jordan one-on-one.
Yo, we got on the Ball talk. Anyways, we got it. But anyways, folks, we're what, 57 minutes in? I mean, for the most part, we had a good show, and I don't want to end it just like this. So what I want to do is I want to ask you guys a couple questions here. So it's very tough, but like three observations that stood out to you. I mean, we kind of talked about it, but like let's start with one observation that's going to stick with you for the rest of this week to kind of say, okay, so like I'm paying attention to this scene. Is it a battle? Is it a battle between the cornerback spot? What are we doing with the running backs? Something you didn't like today? One observation that you saw, and then I'm going to get into your spotlight heroes for today. I'm going to start with you, my man.
Yeah. I think one observation is just to see, like, man, this offense could be extremely potent. And just knowing that fact is, you know, extremely exciting. But just the interesting dynamic of what Ken Dorsey and Josh Allen is going to do, I'll be thinking about that all week for sure.
I like it. I like it. Rev, I'm going to you, man. Anything stand out to you today?
I'm still trying to figure out who's gonna man that punt return job. You know what I'm saying? The punt return, kick return job.
Because it's like it might be Khalil Shakir's job, man.
You got Shakir, Duke Johnson, Blackshear. I mean, they're it seems like they still haven't figured that out, and that's an important part of the game. You know what I'm saying? So because everything else is pretty much, you know, in stone almost, you know what I'm saying? But yeah, I'm definitely going to be looking forward to that too.
I like that. What you got, man?
All right. It's the tight end position. So, you know, when the game first started, I was thinking, you know what? This is OJ Howard's time to shine. Dawson Knox obviously taking a respectable leave away, you know, as his brother passed the other day. OJ Howard was not the tight end one today. It started off with Tommy Sweeney and Quentin Morris as, you know, the tight end one and two in today's preseason game. And then O.J. Howard came out a little bit, and he had a couple nice catches. He had that touchdown. He looked good. But at the same time, Quentin Morris showed flashes, and Tommy Sweeney got the nod to be the tight end one today. So it's really going to be interesting between those three guys, because I think there's positional battles for all three of them, because you got a guy like O.J. Howard who came in to be the tight end too. And as of right now, he's fighting for that spot. But at the same time, you have a guy in Quentin Morris who said, hey, I'm not just the locked in tight end four. I want to fight for this tight end three spot, and I'm not going to let Tommy Sweeney take it away from me. So those guys are fighting now. So I think there's a battle between all three of those for the, you know, the tight end two and three spot. So that's what I'm looking forward to, not only through the next couple of weeks in practice, but next week in preseason.
I agree. Is O.J. Howard, I guess I'm going to ask you, do you feel like O.J. Howard is truly going to be a wrap, or does he still have a fighting chance to, is he fighting? I guess I'm going to put it.
I still think he has a fighting chance. He looked good today. He showed, the touchdown was actually right in front of me. He showed good body position on that slant route, or on that like inside post route for the score. You know, that's why you bring in a guy like O.J. Howard, a big 6'6" frame that can, you know, box out those slimmer safeties and corners, you know, going over the top, because, you know, he is a big body, and you want to utilize that to the best of your ability. And I think that he did that today. He also made some nice catches in traffic, which is awesome to see out of a tight end. But really, I think Howard might be the tight end too going forward. I still want to see one more week, but from what I saw today, really pushed it over the top for me, because that's what I was waiting to see from him. But I think it's be looking more towards Tommy Sweeney and Quentin Morris, because Quentin Morris has more of a similar build to Dawson Knox than Tommy Sweeney. So for some reason, if Knox goes down, Quentin Morris kind of fills that role a little bit more than Sweeney, in my opinion.
So it's funny you mentioned that, because I mentioned earlier, we were talking about like, makes you kind of say, And then I mentioned a little afterwards, maybe this was just an opportunity to let the young guys start with the first unit, see how they look, because maybe O.J. Howard is already solidified. But it does make you question why he was in fourth quarter, last series of last game, and now he's getting shot with the second and third team. You would have thought that they would have put him in immediately after Dawson Knox took the time off. So it is definitely something that I'm going to be observing for sure. So
you know what is interesting, though, Rico, just real quick, because you mentioned them, and then you mentioned, and someone brought up that Scott Kennedy post.
I'm going to bring it right back up. I'm bringing it right back up,
because he's talking about the, you know, Broncos defensive line, but I think that we missed, and I'm surprised we missed it. Our starting D line was pretty soft. Listen, in my opinion, I just didn't think we were getting the pressure on that first series with our starting D line.
It did move the ball pretty well.
That was probably one of the only things I was like,
Yeah,
they did move the ball pretty easy well that first
on us. Knuckle front. It did
tackling was bad again early that during that drive too. Yeah,
Edmonds got put in a spin cycle.
Kind of wonder. It does make you wonder, but I mean, we didn't have our full strength unit all together, right? But nonetheless, that is definitely something to make you say, But Scott Kennedy, friend of the show, by the way, shout out to my man Scott Kennedy. What up, SK? He says you'll be hard pressed to find a softer D line than you went against today. That's the one thing to keep in mind. And we mentioned that earlier, guys. Is the Broncos defense just that bad? We didn't really do anything special. We just took advantage of a terrible defense. Or are we that good? And basically what Scott's telling us is, nah, man, that Broncos defense is terrible. And he's from Broncos territory, I think.
That's true.
I think he's from, are you from the area, Scott, or are you from the Atlanta area? I think you're from the Atlanta.
Or he knows a lot about the Broncos.
He does. Right? So
I've seen him on a lot of Broncos podcasts for sure.
Absolutely. So he's very familiar with that Denver, and I'm sure the Denver Broncos, let's ride. I'm sure they're all not riding with the defensive front, because right now they got bullied today. And we were talking about Bobby Hart and Cody Ford, and we're cracking jokes, but those guys we were cracking jokes on just dominated that defensive front. So maybe there's really not much to be applauding if that defense is that soft. So definitely something to keep in mind. Absolutely. I appreciate that. Scott Kennedy, always a true gem. Oh, he said, don't get me wrong. Buffalo Bills offense is really, really good. It just won't always be that easy. I agree. I mean, I think we all can agree on that. There's going to be days where, I mean, we're going to be like, yo, we're Jaguars.
No, man.
Case in point, the Jaguars. What the hell's happening? Why is the other Josh Allen making plays than our Josh Allen? That's what we had at Adam's question.
That was terrible.
No, we got to keep it right.
Let's ride.
Let's ride. Crap needs to stop, man. Let's ride, baby. Let's go. But for real though, a lot of good things. I'm gonna put you guys on the spot though, and I might save it for Tuesday, to Tuesday's show. But it's a section that a lot of people love, right? Who deserves to be on the milk carton candidate today, folks? Who was missing in action today? Where it may not be that they were terrible. It may just be like, yo, I didn't really see much of this person. Where was he? What did he do? It could be no one.
Yeah.
There might be nobody on this list.
I thought about it. I didn't bring it up on stream, you know, but I was thinking about it. And
watch out.
And when you mentioned the 4-3 and having the three linebackers, and then, you know, a lot of those drives in the first on that first series, you know, Taron Johnson wasn't making a lot of plays. And I'm like, okay, yo, I need to see a little bit more out of Taron Johnson. Now, I know he's safe. I know he's a guy, you know, he's going to get extended. But the 4-3 and them trying to dabble in the 4-3 instead of just saying, look it, we're nickel, this is what it is, you know?
I think it was more of the and it is something to kind of look at, but I'm not wearing it at all. I'm just gonna keep it buck. I'm not wearing it at all. It's what they came out in. The Broncos came in with a freaking double tight end. You can't put Taron Johnson in there. You got to put the big boys in there. So I think that's why we didn't see much of him, because of what they put on the field. I mean, Evan, you were there. It was double tight end, and they're running the ball. Yeah. They wanted to establish something.
Yeah, no, they they came out running the ball a little bit early. A lot of play action bootlegs, you know, getting Josh Johnson outside, trying to extend certain things, but they came out and they looked good against most of our first team defense at the start of the game.
Absolutely. Evan, I'm going to stick with you. Was there a milk carton candidate for you? To me, there wasn't anybody that stood out. I'm not going to put anybody on the list today.
I mean, there wasn't really anyone that stood out per se. But I will say this though, There was just the one series in particular. I'm not knocking his game at all, but from what I saw, I'm not going to knock Dane Jackson on this. But he had that penalty, and then right in front of me, he allowed Kendall Hilton to just get a one-hand snag. It didn't count as a completion,
that's just an offensive receiver making.
I know, but like that's realistically the only thing. I guess Matt Hack. If I wanted to poke a player as a milk carton candidate, Matt Hack, you know, he came out for one punt, and I don't know if you guys watched the post game press conference or not, but you know, Sean McDermott was saying, you know, when I didn't decide to throw out Matt Araiza, some of the players were booing and only one of them were cheering. And Sean McDermott goes, all the players that were booing aren't making the roster. So I guess realistically, those are the milk carton candidates for today. McDermott is a joke. It was a joke, but
I was going to say, I'm like,
yeah,
for real. I was like, yeah,
I mean, just the players that were booing McDermott on his call. Those are the milk carton candidates. It really wasn't any today.
It's kind of hard to find a milk carton candidate. I mean, I put you guys on the spot, obviously, because like Broncos didn't really bring it to us, right? We brought the beef to their front door. I mean, shoot, they came to our front door and we just whooped their ass and sent them back packing. So it wasn't really anything that stood out that was missing. I mean, Rev, I don't know if you have any. Is anybody on the carton?
I was going to say the punt guy, and it's only because it's no fault of his own. You know what I'm saying? It's because McDermott didn't put him out there. You know, that was it.
I like it, man. If I'm looking at a kid, milk carton, I can't. I mean, the milk carton for me was, I mean, we talked about it a little bit with Spencer Brown just being, I mean, the second team. Like, where were you? I need you to be on the first team so I can see this O-line together. How it should be. But I mean, not necessarily a knock. It was just maybe they're experimenting. I know Bean is like that. Not Bean, excuse me, McDermott. This man likes to experiment. And right, let's shuffle things around. Let's see how this looks, because it could happen to us. And he's one of those guys. So it is what it is. Man, John Harris said Ed Oliver. That's interesting. I'd have to go watch the tape back and watch the game again to see, like,
I mean,
in the limited time he was on the field, where was he? Limited time. That's the key.
I mean, everyone on that first team was, you know, they didn't show up.
They looked a little sus.
Yeah. Yeah.
Somebody told me OJ Howard was balled out today. I mean, offensively, I mean, yeah, he had that catch. I think, what, two catches today?
He had a 3 for 16 and a TD.
Was it three? Did he have three receptions?
Yeah. Yeah, he had three receptions for 16 and a ton.
Yeah.
I mean, he played well when his number was called upon.
Yeah.
I mean, that's all it was.
No one's saying that he didn't play well. It was just interesting that he didn't start.
Absolutely. Right? And that's what we'll keep it.
That's where the question starts.
Yep. Ain't no hate going on. But anyways, folks, that's it, man. It's preseason, man. So we don't want to get too deep into it. We're going to be recapping this game all over again the rest of the week. And then, you know, I mean, obviously news is going to come forward. They got to get down to, I don't know what the date is. I think by the 22nd or the 21st, they got to get down to 80 players from 85. We went down from 90 to 85. Now we got to get down from 85 to 80. And then from 80 down to 53. So that's when the big cuts are going to start happening. Black Monday is upon us. Maybe I think tomorrow is when they start making, Sunday. It's Monday they start making the cuts. I keep thinking it's Sunday for some reason. They start making their cuts on Monday. So
Monday,
Black Monday. We'll see. We'll find out who gets the axe. Could it be Bobby Hart? Evan doesn't think so.
Surprise roster guy.
We'll see, man. Raheem Blackshear. Yeah. Could it be him? Who knows? Does he get an opportunity to come again? I have no idea, but boy, oh boy, man, Raheem Blackshear. I love what I saw. From all running backs.
He looked, all of them.
Epinesa? You think they'll cut Epinesa this early? You wouldn't think they hold on to him until like 53 man cuts until they have to really make that time and decision. I think they cut guys that they know that you ain't gonna be on the roster. You knew that going forward. I think they wait.
They got until Tuesday the 30th.
30 is the Tuesday. Okay, there you go. Tuesday. I thought it was Monday. Yeah. Usually it's Black Monday, but anyway, but they might even do it sooner than that. So you just never know. But anyway, folks, that's it for us. I mean, I don't know what else to tell you, man. It was just a big old Bills victory. We're gonna get used to a lot of that this year. I think that the offense is just loaded. It's loaded, and I'm excited to see what Ken Dorsey has in store for us and how he's gonna do his thing. I don't know if you guys read up on Giants Talk. I don't know what Dable is doing over there. I don't know if he's doing well or not. Whoever is watching them, good. Like, let us know what's going on. The Patriots, they actually squeak. What did they squeak out a win yesterday in preseason?
Yeah, I don't know what the score was.
I don't know what's going on with them. Who's doing the play calling and stuff like that. But their defense looked good. And Belichick's teams are always, their defense is always going to be ready. So that's a guarantee. That's a damn guarantee. But the AFC East is going to be a challenge, folks. Dolphins are playing right now. I'd love to see what Tua does. We get to roast some more. Kevin always says that he gets his breaking news from Bills Mafia. He doesn't even go to the Dolphins anymore. He gets it from Bills Mafia because we're always bagging on Tua. Tua gets a little too much heat. But he goes, I don't even have to go to Dolphins, man. I just click on Bills content creators, and you guys already have what I need to know if Tua did terrible. So we'll see what these guys do, man. So that's it for us, man. Any last words coming from my man, P-Money? P-Money, any last words?
No, man. I had fun doing the live stream. I hope you guys like that thing. You know,
hopefully that was dope.
Every single week. Now, again, I will say I'm not doing it next week. Listen,
that's taxing, man. That's a lot.
It's taxing, right? You know, that fourth preseason game or that last one is always the worst. But
yeah,
shout out to everyone who tuned in, man. It was a lot of fun for sure.
How was it? How, no tech issues? Small tech issues?
Things that you can work on? I mean, that's a small tech issue in the very, very beginning, but
it was all
I'll figure it out.
I like that. By the way, I like that. That background's nice, man. It's crisp. I'm feeling that. That green screen is crisp. Yo, Rev, talk to me, man. Anything? You ever say any closing remarks?
Yeah. Just look out for that offense, man. I don't know how many times I'm gonna replay that touchdown, that Josh Allen and the Gabe Davis touchdown. I'm gonna replay that thing forever. That offense. Get ready for this offense to be dominant this year.
Say it one more time, Ray. Say it one more time.
Get ready for this offense to be dominant this year. Dominant. Josh Allen going nuclear. Gabe Davis, my man, going for 1K along with Diggs. It's happening this year.
Damn,
it's going to be sick.
1K. Love it. Ev, talk to us, man. Closing remarks.
Closing remarks. Khalil Shakir, man, he is going to make Ken Dorsey and Sean McDermott's life a living nightmare in a good way, because they're going to be looking at the amount of receivers that they have on the field, and they're going to be looking at Khalil Shakir, you know, on the sideline and being like, how can we not have this guy on the field? You have to have this guy on the field. He has just been balling out every single series, every single snap he's been on. It's just Khalil Shakir. It's the Khalil Shakir show. And, you know, as a fifth round rookie, You don't really expect fifth round rookies to make the type of impact that he's had so early on in his young NFL career, but he's just doing the most of what his opportunities have been presented to him. And you got to give him the respect he deserves, and that respect that he deserves as of right now, he's the receiver four on this team, and he's not going away anytime soon. He's going to be pushing for meaningful snaps on this team. And he's going to be probably pushing 40 to 60 receptions this year. Oh. Cause Sean McDermott and, our offensive coordinator, Ken Dorsey, cannot keep him off the field. You got to put him out there. I think he's going to have an impactful season.
40 to 50 receptions. Dang. Yo,
Evan, yeah. I know Evan always puts numbers. Like, he always.
I'm putting numbers. I'm
matter of facts. I like it.
Yeah,
I like
no. And my prediction was Bills scoring in three plays or less. Your yep. first drive, it was six. It was six. Yep. It didn't work out. But, we're going out there at the end of the day, six.
That was a pretty strong one, because I doubled back on yours, and I was like, yo, one of those plays is going to go to James Cook. But it wasn't. It didn't work out. But it is what it is. Closing remarks for me, man. Listen, man, it's going to be a fun season. That's the one thing I can say. It is going to be fun. There's going to be a lot of games where we're going to be, But it definitely won't be the first seven. The first seven is a gauntlet. Like, we are going to be on the edge of our seats.
Sure.
It's going to be fun. Yeah. But that's it for me, folks. That's it for everybody else, man. We appreciate each and every one of you guys always tuning in, showing love. We were at like 400 people, almost 500 people watching today. So salute to each and every one of you guys. Smash that like before you get out of here. Please, let's try to get this stream to 50 comments. Don't get that. Let's get it to 100 comments. Let's try to get 100 comments. And if you reach this point, I want you to put Four Horsemen. Type in the Four Horsemen in the chat when you get there. The guy that's leading the way is this guy right here, Evan. That dude, you feel me? And we'll go from there, man. So, folks, enjoy the rest of the weekend. I'm about to go and hang out with the little man and go get some wings, and we're going to do that. So, Bills win 42-15. An absolute beatdown from the Broncos.
Go ahead and say it again, Rev.
Dominant.
And that's what it was, man. So, folks, enjoy the rest of the week, and we'll catch you guys again this week, Monday. Z-Bot, Smoke, Break. Then we're back at it again with your boy Rico with the Rico Report. And then Wednesday we're gonna hit you with Rev. Rev is hitting it back. And they listen, man, we're doing the cycle all over again. So we will see you guys this week going forward. Enjoy the rest of the weekend. We'll catch you on the flip side. And until next time, go Bills.
Dominant.
Go Bills, baby.
Yes, sir.
Buffalo is the mafia. Buffalo, Buffalo, Buffalo is the mafia. Buffalo, Buffalo, Buffalo is the mafia. Buffalo, Buffalo, Buffalo.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink. Which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.